Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side of the sea." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Be silent, be muzzled." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you not yet trust God, whose rule is present in me?" And they were terrified and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Why are you afraid? Do you not yet trust God, whose rule is present in me? This is the question for all of us every day. We know that we have been saved by the love and grace of God in Jesus Christ, but we still are afraid to trust in Jesus' presence as our companion through life. Mark presents Jesus as having been very busy since his baptism by John in the Jordan River. He had called the disciples in the first chapter of the gospel. He had exorcised a demon from a man in Capernaum in the same chapter. He had also healed Simon's mother-in-law and healed and exorcised others throughout Galilee and healed a leper, also all in the first chapter of Mark's gospel. He had healed a paralyzed man who was lowered through the roof of the house where he was teaching and healed a man with a withered hand in the second and third chapters. He had silenced unclean spirits in the third chapter and taught in parables and other forms of speech throughout the region of Galilee in the whole beginning of Mark's gospel. The disciples had been present for all of these works of power, but they still were unclear about who their leader and teacher was. This is true throughout Mark's gospel. The demons and unclean spirits recognize Jesus and his authority and his power more readily than the disciples did. But then came the day when Jesus had been teaching into the evening, and he just wanted a break from the crowds. So he told his primary disciples that they should go across the Sea of Galilee to the other side. He was tired from having taught all day, so he took a nap in the stern of the boat. As they were into a pit into the body of water, which really was a lake. It was also called the Lake of Genesaret, although here called a sea. A fierce wind came up, working the waves to heights that began to swamp the boat. This wasn't an unusual occurrence for this body of water, but the extent of the threat at this time presented seemed greater than usual, and it frightened the disciples. They called for Jesus, who was still sleeping in the rear of the boat, to save them. He spoke to the wind and the waves, the forces of nature, using the same words of exorcism that he had used to cure people. "Be silent, be muzzled." The disciples asked Jesus, if he didn't care that they were perishing. But you know, it wasn't that he didn't care. He just wasn't feeling threatened. He knew these forces of nature, and he treated them as he had others that threatened the abundant lives of people. He spoke words that calmed the sea and removed the threat of death. Yet, even after having seen all of Jesus' works of power, the disciples didn't recognize who he was when he acted for their safety, and they were terrified, even though our translation says that they were filled with a great awe. A better translation is that they were terrified. We may not experience the threat of being drowned at sea, but we certainly have faced the threat of death during this last 15 months. More than 600,000 people in this country and more than 3.5 million worldwide have perished. Some people have denied the lethal nature of COVID-19. Some have taken precautions, isolated themselves, and been vaccinated when it became possible. Many have prayed to God for relief from the effects of the disease. We can see as God's present among us, acting to remove the threat of death, the prompt action of medical workers who warned us how to deal with the infection to slow the spread, and the immediate response of scientists who went to work using vaccine methods that had been in development to bring vaccines to application state very rapidly. So, do we experience God's presence among us in that way? Or are we afraid? It was at this time of year, in the year 1530, that some faithful men, and yes, they were all men all those many years ago, who trusted God and their Savior, Jesus Christ, and acted on faith and in conscience, and against the Pope and the power of the Holy Roman Empire to present what has come to be known as the Augsburg Confession. Our ancestors in faith, Martin Luther and his colleague, Professor Dr. Philip Melanchthon, had decided that they had to adopt a posture that might result in their deaths. And they were joined by many other evangelical believers. Luther had been writing against some of the practices of the Roman Church, like the use of indulgences, for some years, since as early as 1517. The Pope had excommunicated him from the church, and since that was the only church in the Western world at that time, he was excommunicated from any church. The Pope called him a heretic in the year 1521. For this reason, his life was in danger, but he had the protection of his prince, who agreed with him about theology and church practices. There had been violence between those loyal to Pope Leo X and Emperor Charles on the one hand, and those who were loyal to Luther on the other. So the Pope and Emperor invited those who followed Luther to present to the Imperial Diet, which was the Congress of the Empire, that would meet in Augsburg, so that we all may adopt and hold one single and true religion, and may all live in one communion, church, and unity. Now, Melanchthon wasn't sure about the Empire's goodwill in this undertaking. But nevertheless, he wrote what Luther, he, Melanchthon, and their colleagues had been thinking and teaching. Today, we call that document the Augsburg Confession. In addition to the authors, 7 territorial princes and 2 city councils signed the document to signify their support. And on the 25th of June in 1530, Melanchthon presented what had been written in front of the emperor and the princes of the Holy Roman Empire. He may have been afraid of the consequences, but he wasn't lacking in faith. He trusted the presence of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ with him. What was the response? Well, there was no discussion. There was no coming to terms for one accord. The Pope's spokesperson refuted all that Luther's people had presented. Now there was more danger for those who had signed the confession, maybe even death. And some of the leaders were imprisoned for as long as 25 years after the death of Luther in 1546. But Luther, Melanchthon, and their colleagues remained committed to clarifying and teaching their understanding of the Bible and the theology they drew from it. They never lost trust in God. They never thought that they should stop because the Pope and the Emperor acted against them. We can learn from these grandfathers in faith. We can take heart from their courage and their trust in God's protection. We can follow them as early fathers in the faith on this Father's Day. We can hear also what Paul said to the Corinthians at Corinth, I'm sorry, to the Christians at Corinth, that now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. So for us today, now is the acceptable time for God, the time when we can work on earth for the coming of the realm of heaven. Now is the time when we are called to discern the future mission of our churches and to plan how we can complete that mission. Although we have been slowed down during the pandemic's isolation, it's now time for preparations to return to in-person worship. It is also time for efforts to be made to renew stewardship and biblical Christian education within the bodies of our congregations. It is time for service to grow and reach more and more members of the community. These are all considerations for which now is the acceptable time. When we attend worship every week, when we study scripture, when we pray together, we'll learn how God is calling us to serve, because now is the acceptable time. Are we afraid? Or do we trust God, whose rule is present in our world today through the Holy Spirit? I ask you, people of God, do you trust? Do you have faith? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.